your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Rick Bensignor. We went around the markets, as Rick always does provide us with insights on how he's trading those wide range of sectors. We're going to continue to focus on the markets with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, before we get into individual areas of the market that you either like or dislike, I just want to ask you about your view on trading that happens in either the first week or simply the first month of the year. We have a lot of commentators, and I read a lot of articles that simply say, look to January to give you some insights in terms of what the future for the rest of the year is going to hold. Last year, in all fairness, January was a pretty good barometer of what was going to happen because markets truly rolled over, especially the S&P in January. Dana, do you put much weight in how markets trade, how individual sectors trade at the very start of the year?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. January is a tricky month because in our experience, what we found in our research, you know, there is historical evidence for it being a barometer for the rest of the year. If you look on average throughout the history and the history of the markets. On the other hand, there's also plenty of evidence. There's more evidence of January being an outlier month as well. So it often does give you a hint of what's coming. But if it doesn't, there are wild swings. You know, there are immediate failures post January often. And there is just like the beginning of January, the market often turns on a dime at the start of the new year because of whatever various monetary financial considerations there are in the market, whether it's, you know, tax loss selling, whatever. There's often a switch that goes on in the very beginning of the year that can produce a head fake, but it can also produce, you know, it could be a heads up for what's to come throughout the course of the year. What's difficult is to hang your hat on either the end of the month or, you know, the real January barometer. The first 5 days of January is supposed to tell you what's going to happen the course of the year. It seems to me an extraordinarily difficult approach to take as an investor, to put your eggs in one basket based on what happens the first 5 days of January throughout the course of the year. But, you know, looking historically, there is evidence for that. But from our perspective, there's just as much evidence that you get these whiplashes, these head fakes during the month that can wreak havoc on markets. They can wreak havoc on market data. As you know, we're very quantitatively oriented. So our models are all based on objective market data, and sometimes January can play havoc on even on that data. So it can be a challenging environment based on what occurs during the month. So we'll go with our models, but we always have in the back of the head that, okay, it is January. We'll take it with a grain of salt, you know.
Yeah, Dane, I think that's a good attitude to have, just to take it with a grain of salt. And that's true of all seasonality, because we hear these adages in the market, like the sell in May go away, or the tax loss selling, or the summer doldrums, or the January effect in this case. And it's got a 50-50 chance of being right. Either, hey, the year starts off bad and it stays bad, or it starts off bad and it goes good. There's so many things that can happen during the course of the year. And that's why we really appreciate you, because you're driven by quantitative models, by technical models, by data, by sentiment. And so when you're looking at the setup now, you had mentioned to us off mic that some of the signals that you follow in your proprietary method, like, show you a better setup than what you've seen recently. I'd love you to unpack that for investors.
Yeah, sure. So you guys know that we're generally bearish in the longer term outlook for stocks. You know, we think we're in a longer term cyclical or even secular bear market. There are plenty of excesses, plenty of froth in the system that still has to be wrung out. You know, 2022 wrung out some of it, but most of those measures are just down to normal extreme levels from, you know, record high levels. So I think there's a lot more downside to come. But in the intermediate term, which is, you know, a matter of 2 to 5 months generally, which is where our risk model operates. Yeah, we have seen improvement. You know, again, January being the tricky month that it is, we're careful that maybe it's having some undue impact on our data. But as you mentioned, we have got seen a fair amount of improvement in our quantitative model, so much in fact that we have, it has turned positive on stocks now. So we came in really to this week with a fair amount of hedges on still, large cash position, and into the sell-off this week we're covering a lot of shorts, and we're looking to add fair amount of long exposure. You know, if our model's correct, which we have to trust, then there could be a decent intermediate term bounce, an extension of that rally that we saw at the beginning of the year. So that's what we're setting up for, again, with that thought in the back of our mind that it is January. So we'll see if that proves to be a head fake within this longer term bear market. But we are actively getting bullish right now. In fact, I think there's a lot of, if this thing does turn back up, there are a lot of good entry points here in some sectors that have recently improved their technical position and are set up for at least higher highs, if not, you know, new highs. You know, you're not going to see that in the growth area of the market, but there are some areas of the market that are potentially set up for new highs.
So, Dana, how significant is this if we do get, let's say, another run higher, even in the broad averages, the fact that that would be a higher low, the first time in a long time, over a year, that we actually saw a higher low being formed in these markets?
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ton of stock, no pun intended, into the higher lows on some of the growthier areas of the market, that, you know, the stuff that experienced that blow off top about a year ago, the tech names, the NASDAQ, the growth, even those would bounce in an intermediate term rally right here. What I would look for is the potential for higher highs. And one segment of the market that we're seeing the potential for that would be the value space, whether it's small, mid, or large cap value. They did not go to those excesses that the growth space did into last year. They've been basically running in place for a couple years. They're not expensive. They're not frothy. And in fact, some of those segments, if you look for the right ETFs, if you look for the right indices, they're actually trading up near all-time highs, have not broken out yet, but are trading within arm's length of all-time highs. So if this intermediate term rally does continue, they have a legit shot at breaking out and moving to higher highs. So we'd rather have be in something like that. You have a lot more margin of error in those technically strong segments of the market than you do doing something like growth or tech that, yeah, may have a flash in the pan, strong mean reversion bounce off the lows, but it's not really going to get it anywhere. Eventually, they're going to fail, and we think there's another big leg down coming ahead at some point. So we'd rather be in those areas, like we think value, that has kind of that technical buffer of support underneath it.
Well, Dana, if you look back a couple of years, growth was really the name of the game. 2020, coming out of the pandemic, 2021, growth was stealing the thunder, and it got to the point where it was not just hitting new highs, but up in the stratosphere on some of the sectors. And then things shifted to a much more defensive nature starting at the end of 2021 and then carrying into last year, where the shift was to value and where you saw things like utility or consumer staples or the energy sector and even precious metals do pretty well, all things considered, while other sectors were completely falling out of bed. It makes sense that growth would bounce the most, but let's say we do have this continued bear market and it keeps pulling down the indexes. Would you expect value to get hit hard along with growth just because they are up at those higher levels, or would you expect them to keep outperforming growth if we have a further pullback?
Well, and I hate to make a direct comparison to a kind of a recent cycle period because it's always different, but back in 2000, 2002, when the dot-com bubbles, i.e. the growth stocks, topped in 2000 and went into a vicious bear market until 2002. Actually, the majority of stocks had topped out in 98 and suffered, you could say, stealth bear markets because it wasn't reflected in the averages. But most stocks dropped from 98 to 2000. And then when growth stocks turned down, they turned up or at least were more resilient and had a decent 2 years. So I think that might be the path here with value stocks and other stocks that did not go to such, you know, frothy evaluations and levels like growth did. So I think you have a chance in the value space to hit higher highs and trend higher over time. However, you know, within the course of a bear market, once you hit those air pockets, once you do hit those periods where you do, you know, growth especially will hit another leg down and you see the waterfall type declines or selling, nothing will be spared in that type of an environment. So while you might be seeing higher highs in some areas of the market like value during those down cycles within the longer term bear markets, I don't expect anything to continue higher. In fact, when you hit like climactic types of sell-offs like you did, you know, in 2002 in the summer to fall, everything, even those value type names that had held up quite well, maybe they don't sell off as hard as growth, but they do end up selling off. There's basically nowhere to hide in that type of environment, but you were not constantly in that type of a decline even within a longer term bear market. So you'll still get the up and down cycles within that, and I think from a long perspective you have to concentrate on that value space on the long side. And on the short side or the downside, you got to concentrate on growth. It doesn't mean you short at all times, but once you experience a good, healthy rally, then you start selling or shorting the growth. And once you do pull back, then you can look for opportunities to buy the value space. So you want to ride the trends, but it doesn't mean, you know, there won't be ups and downs and everything along the way.
Yeah, fair enough. It sounds still like very much stuck in a bear market, but you do see some at least light at the end of the tunnel for some of those value trades, some of the ones that have done a little bit better, let's say the tail end of the year. Dana, do you think broadly that the worst is behind us for markets in terms of, let's say, degree of change or at least slope of that downtrend that we saw through most of the year? Or quite frankly, could there be that shock event that you have alluded to that just crashes everything?
No, I don't think we've seen the worst. I think we've seen the beginning of this bear market. So when things are so extended, that pullback from that seems really bad, and it is bad. But again, if you look at what we call background measures, you know, the longer term metrics within the economy and the market that tell us how much froth is in the market. Things like valuations, things like household investment, things like, you know, you look at the market cap to GDP, you know, the Buffett indicator, all these things basically went skyrocketed to all-time highs into the beginning of 2022. Most of them have pulled back only to levels that signify previous peaks, you know, previous record highs. So it's not like they've wrung out most of the froth in the market. They're only down to, you know, what used to be the normal, you know, extreme. So there's a lot of excess still to be wrung out. And again, and we've talked about this before, as the market analyst Bob Farrell put in his rules, 10 rules for investing, markets, or in this case market data that goes to one extreme, always goes to the other extreme before the cycle's over. So if indeed we're going to cycle to the low extreme in those types of measures, there is a lot of pain left in this market, which I expect to be the case, you know, over the longer term. So the next couple of years to maybe this decade, you know, it's not going to be a straight line, but I think there's a lot of excess that has to be still wrung out of the system. And, you know, as bad as last year was, I think that's only the beginning.
Well, Dana, we tend to be more U.S. focused sometimes when we're looking at the equity markets, but it is a global marketplace. And I know you keep tabs on a lot of other markets and nations and their stock markets and their ETFs. We've heard some comments even recently that emerging markets may be an interesting area to look after underperforming so poorly for so long. Is there anything abroad outside of the U.S. equities that has your attention?
Actually, yes, and I'm glad you asked, because that's one area of the global equity market that has seen some of that absolute performance, not just the relative strength that we've been looking for. So emerging markets does have our eye right now, at least for a trade. We think of plenty of the emerging markets are set up for a continued run higher in the intermediate term. Then again, you also have some markets, some of the Asian markets, but you look at a market like South Africa that is up testing all-time highs right now. So again, if there is going to be another leg up here, that has basically moved sideways for, you know, a year or longer. And if we do break out, that a market like that has enough fuel to hit new highs and have a durable run there. Also, somewhat surprisingly to us, is Europe, which we don't like in the long term, but in the near term has actually been outperforming certainly the U.S. and much of the world. Specifically in Europe, you look at the U.K. and the FTSE is also testing all-time highs right now. It's been basically going sideways for several years. Again, if that breaks out, it's certainly got enough fuel to make another run at higher highs like we've been talking about. Obviously, for U.S. investors, given the currency impact, sometimes it's hard to take advantage of some of those moves in foreign markets. But if you do have the capability, there are markets abroad that are maybe not subject to this long-term bear market that we're looking at in the U.S. because they have gone basically not sideways for a while. They have not experienced the type of froth that the U.S. has for the last decade or so. So you do have some good setups there, and we'll continue to peruse the international world landscape for opportunities.
All right, Dana, thank you as always for your time. Always interesting to hear what you are playing, what you're seeing in these markets, and it sounds like still a focus on the value side of the trade. In all fairness, the sectors that have done a little bit better broadly last year and even, I guess, into this year. But we'll see how this year plays out. Hopefully it's not as bad as last year, although it might be, it sounds like. Thank you again for your time, Dana. We'll chat in a couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.